Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Hockey here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your next order. In today's episode, we'll recap the weekend playoff action, a look at the Calder Trophy for the league's top rookie this season, and matchups and DFS value plays for Monday. So let's first, we'll start with Saturday's game. The Boston Bruins losing 3-2 in overtime at Washington. For the Capitals, right winger Tom Wilson with a goal and an assist, and center TJ Oshie with two assists, and including he set up Wilson for the first goal of the game. A good opportunity there by Washington where they caught Charlie McAvoy without a stick. Wilson and Oshie kind of attacked him and left him kind of hung out to dry. And this is sort of the most maddening feature of Tom Wilson is not only is he a bit of a menace and dangerous to other players, the guy can put the puck in the net. And so big win for Washington. The Bruins did get a goal in the game from Jake DeBrusk, who had just 5 goals in 41 games during the regular season. But I suppose the story of the game is that Vitek Vanecek, the Capitals goaltender, was injured early on DeBrusk's goal. And so Craig Anderson came in. Anderson stopped 21 of 22 shots the rest of the way to get the win. And Ilya Samsonov may not be ready for game two, so it still could be Anderson in net for Washington. Talk about an unlikely series of events. Craig Anderson playing crucial minutes in the playoffs. For Washington in game one, right winger Anthony Mantha had the best possession numbers in the game, nearly 69% of shot attempts during 5-on-5 play. And the Bruins line of Taylor Hall, David Krejci, and Craig Smith, while they were pretty even in terms of shots and expected goals, they were on for 2 goals against. Move to Sunday, where the Islanders won 4-3 in overtime at Pittsburgh. Jean-Gabriel Pageot with a goal and two assists for the Islanders. And Islanders right winger Kyle Palmieri scored 2 goals, including the overtime winner. Given that Palmieri had like 2 goals in 17 games after the trade deadline, highly unexpected to get those 2 goals. Penguins defenseman John Marino was on the ice for 3 goals against, including the overtime winner, where he ended up falling in the corner, which gave Palmieri the opportunity to get open. I still think Tristan Jarry needed to stop that shot, if not at least a couple more for Pittsburgh. And you can't get by in the playoffs with your goaltender allowing goals that, maybe he could have stopped. Every once in a while you can get away with that. But if there are multiple goals like that in a game, that's your team's not going to have any kind of success. And so that's what happens there for game one. And now Pittsburgh has to hope their goaltending can hold up for game two. In the case of the Islanders, Semyon Varlamov wasn't able to go, so they had to go with Ilya Sorokin. And he played well. And at least well enough to get the win in game one. Minnesota went into Vegas and won 1-0 in overtime. We start the playoffs with 3 straight overtime games. Vegas goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury stopped 29 of 30 shots, but he was the second best goaltender in the game. Cam Talbot stopped all 42 shots that he faced for the Wild. Joel Eriksson Ek with the only goal of the game. And that's a pretty good win for the Wild to go in and get a win at Vegas right off the start. For Vegas, defenseman Zach Whitecloud, dominant possession numbers, 75% Corsi when he was on the ice. And for Minnesota, the line of Marcus Johansson, Victor Rask, and Kevin Fiala, they got thumped. Out-attempted 16-4, so they had a 20% Corsi with that trio on the ice for Minnesota. And yet... they managed to escape with the win. Now, in the game of the weekend, if not the season, it was a classic opener to the Battle of Florida, with Tampa Bay winning 5-4 against the Panthers. And now this one didn't go to overtime. Tampa Bay scored with a minute 14 left to take it. But Jonathan Huberdeau, goal and two assists for Florida, and really fantastic. He had a breakaway goal that was a little bit fortunate. Looked like he got checked and it still managed to get through Andrei Vasilevskiy. But he also, on a drive to the net, made an incredible pass back to Owen Tippett, who put it in the empty net. And Tippett had a goal and assist for the Panthers. Alexander Barkov had a goal and assist for Florida. Also, the Panthers controlled two-thirds of the shots when Barkov was on the ice. Sam Bennett, we'll talk about him in a minute. He had a couple of assists. And Keith Yandel also had a couple of assists for Florida. Over to the Tampa Bay side, Nikita Kucherov. Apparently, you know, the good health, just healthy enough in time to start the playoffs. We weren't sure, but he had two goals and an assist. And there's a very cynical part of me that is that isn't buying that Nikita Kucherov was only healthy enough to start the playoffs. He probably, if salary cap considerations weren't a factor, he may have been able to play a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But that's not what happened. Kucherov steps in and is really a difference maker for Tampa Bay, as you might expect, with two goals and assists. Braden Point with two goals, including the game winner. Victor Hedman had three assists for Tampa Bay, so they really had the core guys going. Ryan McDonough had a couple of assists. Steven Stamkos had a couple of assists. And really, this is the main difference between the teams, is that Tampa Bay has higher-end talent, and it's not that Florida doesn't have high-end talent. I mean, Barkov is great, and Huberdeau is great, but Kucherov might be better than that, and Hedman might be better than that, and Point, and Stamkos, and that's the advantage that Tampa Bay has. They have high-end guys who are really tough to match up with. And so from that game, Ross Colton moved up to play on the third line with Yanni Gourde and Blake Coleman. Barclay Goodrow is injured right now, and so a bit of an opportunity there for Colton to step up and play a bigger role. Sam Bennett talked about him getting a couple assists in the game. He's also suspended for game two after boarding Blake Coleman. It may have been a revenge boarding, kind of came shortly after Coleman had got tangled up with Alexander Barkov, and Bennett may have been trying to send a message there. Well, the timing was not great, because it ended up giving Tampa Bay a power play, which they used to tie the game and ultimately win. So it was not a smart play by Bennett, and probably does deserve the suspension. At the same time, Lightning defenseman Ryan McDonough seems to be getting a free pass where he boarded Anthony Duclair in a similarly dangerous hit, but apparently that was fine for a 2-minute minor. I would be fine with both of them having to take a seat for that. Enough hitting guys from behind by the boards, thanks. So when we come back, my look at the Calder Trophy for this season. Credit Karma's always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money's brand new checking account where you win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in Instant Karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Credit Karma Money progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member of FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. So there may not be a whole lot of suspense involved in the Calder Trophy this year, but thought I would take a look at the top rookies, and we'll start with a few honorable mentions. And we'll start with Washington goaltender Vitek Vanecek, who played behind a strong defense, but he played a whole lot more than would have been expected coming into the season. He played 37 games, had a .908 save percentage, which is all right, but doing that behind a Washington Capitals team defense that was really quite strong is not quite as impressive as it might be otherwise. Artem Zub of the Ottawa Senators, now not a huge impact player, but showed some promise and could be a pretty useful part of that blue line as they continue to grow and get better. The puck tended to move the right way with him on the ice. And, you know, he only had 14 points in 47 games, but I would at least make Zub a player to keep an eye on for real, more than I would for fantasy, because he doesn't exactly light up the scoreboard. Also in the honorable mentions, Keandre Miller, the New York Rangers, and another guy who doesn't light up the scoreboard. Only had 12 points in 53 games. Puck moved the right way, and he played 21 minutes a night, though, as a rookie for the Rangers. And so I think there's some promise there, and I don't know whether he's going to develop into a bigger offensive factor, but Miller should still be a pretty valuable top four defenseman as he matures for the Rangers. Jani Kukkonen, the winger for the New Jersey Devils, contributed 25 points in 50 games. Now, he doesn't shoot the puck a lot. He only had 61 shots on goal, but also had positive puck possession numbers. The Devils getting 52% of the shots when Kukkonen was on the ice. One last honorable mention here is somebody who could very well be in the top 10, but Jake Oettinger of Dallas, who also probably played more than was expected, appearing in 29 games for the Stars. He had a 9.11 save percentage. But I guess the issue with Oettinger is that Dallas's team defense was fairly amazing with him in net. And so he doesn't get, I guess, the full credit for putting up those numbers. But I also think that Oettinger is very promising for fantasy purposes, with the chance that, you know, maybe he's playing an even bigger role next season. So now let's move into the top 10. Number 10, I've got Kevin Lankinen of Chicago. Even though he faded late in the season, Lankinen started the season as the third string goaltender for Chicago. And then, you know, Colin Delia and Malcolm Subban got off to a rough start, and all of a sudden Lankinen was thrust in as their starting goaltender, and he helped Chicago into a playoff spot for a pretty good chunk of the season. But he was also asked to do more than you should be asking your starting goaltender, because Chicago wasn't very good defensively. And so ultimately, Lankinen faded down the stretch, but in 37 games had a 909 save percentage. But doing that behind a weak defense kind of gets him the nod as number 10 of my top rookies. And number 9, got Ottawa's Josh Norris, who had 17 goals, 18 assists in 56 games. Now, his shot rate wasn't great either, 96 shots in 56 games while playing usually on the first line. That's not ideal. And, you know, his puck possession numbers were, I'd say, mediocre. And the fact that he played so much with Brady Tkachuk and still didn't have great possession numbers, I think, leaves a bit of a question. But I think, in general, you have to be pretty happy about the transition of Norris from American Hockey League scorer, where he had a pretty nice season in 2019-2020, but he made a pretty nice transition to the National Hockey League and finished pretty strong for the Senators. At number 8, we got the Islanders' Ilya Sorokin, who also got the benefit of playing behind a strong defense with the Islanders. Delivered a 9.18 save percentage in 22 games, so he didn't have the starter's workload that some other rookie goaltenders did. And Sorokin got off to a kind of tough start, his first couple of starts, and then went on a real good run. And now, as I say, he played it behind a strong defense, and the Islanders had the luxury of Semyon Varlamov playing great in the starting role, that Sorokin really didn't have any kind of pressure in his spot. Like, he didn't have to go on a run as the starter or anything throughout the season. So, very promising start to his career, but part of the reason, I guess, that he's not higher is that he only played 22 games. At number 7, we got Devils winger Igor Sharangovich, who really turned on his offensive flair at the end of the season. He ended up with 16 goals and 14 assists in 54 games, but he generates a bunch of shots, had 114 shots, and the Devils were out shooting the opposition when Sharangovich was on the ice, and that's not that easy for the Devils. And so I think he's really developed into, you know, one of the young Devils wingers who they can look forward to next season. I mean, there are a lot of what happened for the Devils this season. They weren't in contention, and so they gave a lot of young guys opportunities. And Sharon Govich seems to be the one who jumped up, at least among the forwards. You know that Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier are going to be the guys down the middle of the ice, but I think there's lots of opportunities for wingers, and Sharon Govich is going to be in a pretty significant role next season. Number six, we've got Rangers goaltender Igor Shestyorkin. Now, Shestyorkin had a .916 save percentage in 35 games, playing behind a relatively weak Rangers defense. And so you could argue for him in the top five, and I wouldn't argue too loudly against it. But I also wouldn't be fair to say that Shestyorkin, you know, exceeded expectations in any way. I mean, there was certainly a path to him winning the Calder Trophy this year if he had played great, and at the same time, you know, a well above average starting goaltender as a rookie, you have to give some respect for that. Number five, we've got Devils defenseman Ty Smith, who, you know, as rookie defensemen go, he was the one who handled, I guess, the most significant role. And some of that has to do with you're playing on a team that isn't that great in New Jersey, but the Devils also controlled 54% of the shots when Smith was on the ice. He had 23 points in 48 games, and if you want to put Shestyorkin up ahead of Ty Smith, I'm not going to argue that point too loud, but I think Smith also deserves credit for his performance. At number four, I've got Nils Höglander for Vancouver. And you might say, well, Höglander had 26 points in 53 games. What are we talking about here? But had 112 shots on goal. And his, you know, relative shot impacts compared to his teammates was, you know, dramatically. He was plus 4.7 in terms of relative Corsi. But just his isolated impacts, if you look at my good friend Micah Blake McCurdy's Hockey Viz website, Höglander has, you know, outstanding isolated impacts at both ends of the ice. So that is really how Höglander is sliding into the top five when the scoring numbers don't exactly jump off the page. Number three, we've got Carolina's Alex Nedeljkovic, their, I guess, savior in goal. When Peter Mrazek got injured this season, Nedeljkovic had the opportunity to come in, and I think the expectation was that he would just sort of spell James Reimer, but it turned out that Nedeljkovic was playing so well that, you know, Caroline had to keep putting him in, and now he did have the benefit of playing behind a really strong Carolina team, so, you know, the .932 save percentage should not be you know, it's not the same as doing that behind, say, the Chicago Blackhawks. there's a real difference in quality there. But 932 save percentage against NHL teams is still pretty legit. And so Nedeljkovic in 23 games has earned himself a spot as a finalist, I'd say, for the Calder Trophy. And now could have a much more promising future than might have been expected coming into the season. Number two, speaking of players who exceeded expectations during the season, is Stars' Jason Robertson, who, when given his chance to play right at the start of the year, was not playing a whole lot, fourth line minutes, sometimes a healthy scratch, and then all of a sudden he started to put up a few points, and then the ice time went up, and his point totals continued, and then his shot totals went up, and then he just became a really legit top line forward. And so Robertson had 45 points in 51 games, 127 shots on goal. Stars controlling more than 55% of the shots at evens with Robertson on the ice. And like he's not necessarily the most dynamic player. He's a big, strong, smart winger who puts himself in good positions to create offense. But he's also not a guy who's going to go end to end very often with the puck. So Robertson at least made this the Calder Trophy race interesting this year, because at one point it looked like Kirill Kaprizov was going to run away with it, and then Robertson sort of made a furious charge in the second half to make it pretty close. But ultimately, Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota has to be the choice. Kaprizov has 51 points in 55 games, including 27 goals. And it's in some ways similar to Robertson is that Kaprizov at the start of the year was not, now he was getting a bunch of ice time, but he wasn't generating a ton of shots early. And then kind of partway through the season, shot generation became a real cornerstone for his game, which, you know, helped him sustain his offense throughout the season. And, you know, the Wild got outshot with Kaprizov on the ice, but just barely. And they were much better with Kaprizov on the ice relative to his teammates. And so getting 27 goals in 55 games, I mean, that's a 40-goal pace in a full season. I think that even with high expectations coming into the season, Kaprizov exceeded them pretty much in every way. And so a well-deserved Rookie of the Year. And don't come to me with your age qualifications. Until the rule changes, he qualifies as a rookie. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 9 delicious flavors, plus they have occasional limited time flavors as well. Their standards, though, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, that one's my favorite, double chocolate and salted caramel, that's my second favorite. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar where they'll give you 2 of each of those 9 flavors, and then you can make your decisions on which ones you want to order. And not only are they great tasting, covered in 100% chocolate, tastes like a real snack, but they're high protein, low calorie, low sugar, low carbs, and so it ends up being rather healthy. You know, from my perspective, I used them when I started an outdoor boot camp, leaned right into it, making Built Bar part of my post-workout routine. Gives my muscles a protein boost, and it has helped me have some success. So go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, the NHL playoffs are here, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, and that includes Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the puck drops, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the playoffs. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You put in $1,000, they'll put another $500 in your account. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so before we go, let's take a look at Monday's action on betonline.ag. First up, we have Boston Bruins, -132 at Washington. And you have to figure the Bruins are pretty desperate here. You don't want to go down 2 games to none in any time, but to miss out on the opportunity when the Capitals are running second and third string goaltenders, that would seem to put you in a bad spot. And on top of that, I just think the Bruins are the better team. I prefer Boston at that price of -132. They really, if the Bruins have hopes of going on a run in the playoffs, if they end up struggling here with Washington and Craig Anderson in goal, that would be a troubling indicator for sure. Carolina is -157 at home against Nashville. Now, I like Carolina to be favored here. I'm not sure I like that paying that premium, and basically that it's because UC Saros for Nashville, their goaltender, has been probably the best goaltender in the league over the last 6 weeks or so. In playoff hockey, you always kind of be wary of the hot goaltender. As much as I think Carolina is the superior team overall, I would be at least a tiny bit cautious about the goaltending. We get the lopsided game of the night. Colorado is -290 against St. Louis. And now St. Louis is without David Perron, which is that's a big hit for them. But they do have a number of veteran players who were key parts of their Stanley Cup win a couple of years ago. So I wouldn't necessarily expect St. Louis to just roll over here. At the same time, Colorado has played at an extremely high level this season. So I'm not going to take them at -290 because I don't take any team at -290. But if you're going to favor a team by that much, it probably should be Colorado. So thanks to betonline.ag for those odds. Here are a few players to consider as value plays on DFS for Monday. Skaters under $5,000 on DraftKings. We'll start with Boston center David Krejci, $4,600 at Washington. And Krejci's been really productive since Taylor Hall was acquired at the trade deadline. And you know, their line had some chances in game one, but nothing materialized. And so expect Krejci to break through in game two. Now, if you really want to go digging deep for value, Colorado center Alex Newhook is $2,500 against St. Louis. And now the rookie had 3 points in six games down the stretch, but played and showed that he could keep up at this level. And kind of depends on what kind of opportunity he's going to get with the Avs. So maybe you want to see how it goes in game one before you make that decision. But $2,500 for Newhook could work. Carolina right winger Martin Nichas is $4,600 against Nashville. As I said, I expect Carolina to create lots of chances. The question is whether they'll be able to score on UC Saros. For Colorado, left winger Brandon Saad's returning from injury. He's only $2,600 against St. Louis, and Saad has plenty of playoff experience and had a pretty solid season this year. He's always been a good 5-on-5 player. He just doesn't get to pad his stats with power play numbers. If you're looking for a super bargain on the wing, Nashville winger Tanner Janot, who's only $2,600 against Carolina, showed some spark down the stretch, scored 5 goals for Nashville, and plays a real physical game that that might pay off in the playoffs. Boston defenseman Mike Riley is $3,300 at Washington. A lot of the higher priced defensemen are the guys who quarterback the first power play unit. Well, Riley isn't that, but he's a good puck mover on a team that has really benefited since he arrived. And if you're looking for a bargaining goal, I think you have to consider UC Saros from the underdogs, just because Saros has been so good. He's $7,500 at Carolina. That will do it for today. Enjoy the games. You can check out my work at The Athletic, McKean's Hockey, as well as scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Find these podcasts, subscribe, maybe drop in a 5-star rating on iTunes. Check it out on Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you can get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.